Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, let me share with you the commission of the ministry that was given to Joseph Hedgecott many years ago. He said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They've sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts. I've given them those things, and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that it never fulfilled that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time." Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. This message is for those who want to get to know Him and grow up in Him and be ready for His appearing. Today I'm sharing a message about a strong mind. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 9. This is in Philippians chapter 2. I'm starting in verse 5. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Verse 6. "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." Verse 7. "But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men." Verse 8. "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even death of the cross." Verse 9. "Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name." The knowledge in this world coming from the wrong source is making minds corrupt. Those in the church are often blind to this corruption because they want to have something they also desire in the flesh. They use the knowledge from the tree of right and wrong for everyday things. And it works, but this is at the expense of getting eternal rewards and the possibility to rule with Christ in any capacity. The knowledge from the wrong source was forbidden 6,000 years ago. God's commands have not changed, even though everyone keeps ignoring them. The knowledge gained in the flesh is justified to meet personal needs and desires and the lusts of the flesh. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. This is in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 7. "But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathens do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking." Verse 8. "But not ye, therefore, like unto them, for your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask him." In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Philippians 2 and verse 5 says, "Let this same attitude and purpose and humble mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Let him be your example in humility." When I heard the true gospel that Jesus should be the one making all the decisions, I had to make a fresh start. I took everything I knew and had learned in Bible school and my own personal study notes and got rid of them. I was fearful to do this at first because I'd used that knowledge to impress others and discern right from wrong. But I prayed that if there was any good in those teachings that I heard, I asked God to bring them back to my mind. Jesus never did. I also had to strip myself from anything I was trusting in, apart from God, through repentance, since coming to Christ. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Philippians 2:6 says, "Who, although being essentially one with God and in the form of God, possessing the fullness of the attributes which make God God, did not think this equality with God was a thing to be eagerly grasped or retained." You are not equal with God, but in order to do the will of God, you need to be. The flesh cannot please God, separated from God through sin. When Jesus came to this earth, he emptied himself of all his authority first, and never used his divine power to do anything. He got his strength through being in constant communion, doing the will of his Father. The Father is greater than Jesus in rank. However, by faith, Jesus needed equal rank with God as a human to be in constant communion with God and fully represent him, be the Lamb of God, and do the work God assigned him to do. The way that Christ did things is the way you also should do things with your Heavenly Father. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Philippians 2:7 says, but stripped himself of all privileges and rightful dignity, so as to assume the guise of a servant, slave, in that he became like men and was born a human being. You should have stripped yourself of the knowledge you studied in this world through the natural education system. This is essential to do the will of God, and let God use whatever you study in the way he wants. You are only to use the knowledge that he brings back to your mind, even in every profession and calling that is from God. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3. This is Philippians chapter 3, and I'm reading verse 3. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. In the Message Bible, Philippians 3:3 says, the real believers are the ones the Spirit of God leads to work away at this ministry, filling the air with Christ's praise as we do it. We couldn't carry this off by our own efforts, and we know it, even though we can list what many might think are impressive credentials. James Hudson Taylor, born in 21st of May 1832 and lived to 3rd of June 1905, was a British Protestant Christian missionary to China and founder of the China Inland Mission, CIM, now OMF International. Taylor spent 51 years in China. The society that he began was responsible for bringing over 800 missionaries to the country, who started 125 schools and directly resulted in 18,000 Christian conversions, as well as the establishment of more than 300 stations of work with more than 500 local helpers in all 18 provinces. Taylor was known for his sensitivity to Chinese culture and zeal for evangelism. He adopted wearing native Chinese clothing, even though this was rare among missionaries at that time. Hudson Taylor wrote, many Christians estimate difficulty in the light of their own resources, and thus they attempt very little, and they always fail. All giants have been weak men who did great things for God because they reckoned on his power and presence to be with them. Those who had a confidence in the flesh are thinking when they should be listening. God can take something he knows about everything and give this to you when you're ready to apply it and have the humility to handle it. You certainly cannot be used to do spiritual things with the knowledge of right and wrong. Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. This is in the book of Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Constant communion with God is necessary just to become a living sacrifice. You have to be broken first and ready to do his will. You will need to have faith in his resources that come from the directions and thoughts coming back to your mind. The church of today is full of methods and relies on man's technology that the persecuted church in the last days may not have access to. John warned us in 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. This is in 1 John chapter 4. I'm starting in verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they're of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Verse 2. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Verse 3. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof you've heard that it should come. And even now already is it in the world. Meditate on the fact that Jesus came in the flesh. The spirit of Antichrist is in the church since the original apostles died. The foundation of everything in the Christian life is the functional lordship of Jesus Christ. Jesus was tempted in every way like us, but he never sinned. That is why he is Lord. Many believe that Jesus used his divine power to do what he did, and he had an advantage over us. This is a lie. Those who are deceiving themselves use this as an excuse for sinning. Paul continued in Philippians chapter 2, verses 10 to 16. This is Philippians chapter 2, I'm reading verse 10. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Verse 11. That every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Verse 13. For it is God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Verse 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Verse 15. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Verse 16. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 3, on spiritual maturity. In chapter 1, on spiritual maturity, on page 7, Joseph Hedgecott writes, when you are spiritually mature, producing godly fruit and demonstrating Christ's character are common traits. Maturity does not mean perfection. Everyone makes mistakes, but a mature believer lives in the Spirit most of the time. As you mature, your character and personality change because you deny your flesh, abide in the Spirit, and submit consistently to the lordship of Jesus Christ. Your nature will reflect Christ's character, and fellowship with God will be consistent. When you are spiritually mature, Jesus is your standard. He is your example of obedience. Only those who make no excuse for sinning can hold forth the word of life for others. That does not mean they are perfect, but when they fail, they repent and get right back on track. They learn to obey God through trial and error and confess their sins if necessary and try again. They are good at repentance. They do not spend a long time in the flesh, maybe a few seconds towards the end, but as a result, do not miss divine appointments. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, he said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. The word strengtheneth in Strong's is number 1743. Comes from some other words which means to empower, enable, or increase in, to be strengthened, or to be made strong. Many fail to get God's resurrection power because of unbelief. They have faith in God, but they also have faith in what they know and experience before Christ, and this causes them to doubt and meet their needs from their own resources. They do not believe in the authority that comes from doing his will and make plans of their own instead. We read in Proverbs chapter 18, verses 10 to 15. This is Proverbs chapter 18. I'm reading verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and is safe. Verse 11. The rich man's wealth is his strong city, and as an high wall is his own conceit. Verse 12. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. Verse 13. He that answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame unto him. Verse 14. The spirit of man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? Verse 15, the heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. The word strong in Strong's is number 5797. It comes from another word which means strength in various applications, force, security, majesty or praise. It also means boldness or to be loud, mighty, or powerful or strong. Strong does mean to be bold or loud in praise. Some leaders and denominations have learned to be loud and bold in the pulpit. Some shout in Jesus' name, but they're not strong. They're actually weak when they tell the people what they want to hear and get them to release their faith saying, Amen, to half-truths based on lies. They are told to claim a promise and get excited without ever understanding or studying the conditions involved. They're trying to put things in place ignorantly without repentance and first removing what was there before built on lies. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 23 to 25. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm reading verse 23. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. Verse 24. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Verse 25. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. The word stumbling block in Strong's is number 4625. It means a scandal, probably from another word meaning a trapped stick or a bent sapling. That is a snare, figuratively, a cause of displeasure or sin, an occasion to fall, of stumbling, an offence, or something that offends, a stumbling block. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually, in Chapter 9 on the importance of lordship, on page 136, Joseph Hedgecott writes, if you go to Bible school or seminary and they actually teach truth, you are still not capable of processing it in your natural mind. You are incapable of understanding truth if you are in the flesh. The only way to process truth correctly is to be in the Spirit where He can teach you. Bible schools and seminaries do not typically teach how to submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and walk in the Spirit. They usually teach that He is the Lord, yet they also teach you to make decisions from your own mind, your Lordship. You may try to be a good Lord, but everything you do from the natural realm is a dead work. In Satan's kingdom, the devil, as an angel of light, will deceive you and others with ways that seem right. The devil may not bring evil thoughts to born-again, Spirit-filled ministers, because they would recognize blatant temptations. The devil does use scriptures and puts them together in a deceptive way to bring a conclusion that is not the truth. It's a way that seems right from the natural mind. Paul's messages were not popular with the Jews or Greeks, so he had to be strong himself in asking God what to say and do, and not protect himself based on how others would react. Paul's preaching of the cross included the fact that the educated religious Jews with their minds crucified their own Messiah. He said this in love. His preaching was exposing their method of learning, but God would not let the Jews forget this because He wanted them to repent deeply of their scandalous behavior. Paul also wanted everyone, including the Greeks, to understand that using their mind to study is a recipe for serving the devil. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I'm reading verse 14. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Samuel Chadwick, who lived from 1860 to 1932, a lay preacher, served as president of the Wesleyan Methodist Conference from 1918 to 1919. He was a principal lecturer at Cliff College near Chesterfield, England. Samuel said, "The man who thinks he can know the Word of God by mere intellectual study is greatly deceived. Spiritual truth is spiritually discerned." With ordained ministers in the church today using their minds, the devil does not have to work hard. Joseph Hedgecott, the author of the book, My Sheep Are My Voice, said it was always a challenge to get people to accept the truth in churches everywhere. Joseph noticed when teaching that he had to use many scriptures and a lot of conviction for people to receive the truth, because they were still holding on to lies using their minds. After Joseph had left, it often took just one leader, acting bold or strong, shouting loudly, and the people would return to the lies they believed before. Joseph would let people see the foolishness of what they believed and share truth with them. While they were still laughing at themselves, he was able to give them the truth. It was often like feeding a baby at the dinner table. Truth is rare. Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 1 to 8. I'm reading 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting in verse 1. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. Verse 2. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren, but rather do them service, because they are faithful and beloved partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. Verse 3. If any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. Verse 4. He is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings. Verse 5. Perverse disputings of men, of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such, withdraw thyself. Verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Verse 7. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. Verse 8. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. The Jews scattered in the persecution, applying the apostles' doctrine, were vessels of honor. God could use them to bring the gospel to the Gentiles everywhere. Paul insisted that the new converts follow their example by serving in difficult circumstances. He did not want anyone seeking his or own freedom or better living conditions unless the Lord directed this. Everyone was to seek godliness with contentment instead. Success is knowing God personally in whatever state you find yourself in, whether you are being abased or abounding. We read in Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, verses 2 to 4. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 9. I'm reading verse 2. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Verse 3. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves, nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. Verse 4. And whatsoever house ye enter into, there abide, and thence depart. The first Jewish converts scattered in the persecution were bold and told the truth about Jesus' first coming. By giving the good confession in Jerusalem, they were scattered in different communities, doing basic jobs that others were not willing to do, in order to feed their families. They were the people God could use to spread the pure gospel, and they did not have any personal resources to draw on. Paul continued in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 9 to 12. This is 1 Timothy chapter 6, I'm reading verse 9. But they that will be rich fall into temptation, and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierce themselves through with many sorrows. Verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. The word flee in Strong's is number 5343, apparently a primary verb, means to run away, literally or figuratively, by implication to shun, by analogy to vanish or escape or flee away. The words follow after in Strong's is number 1377, a prolonged and causative form of a primary verb meaning to flee. And it's compared to some other words which means to pursue, literally or figuratively, by implication even to persecute, or ensue, or follow after, or give to suffer persecution or press towards. You might have grabbed tightly when you first heard the gospel like a drowning man, but since that time you've lost your grip on eternal life. Timothy was told by Paul to flee whatever was appealing to the flesh, trying to take root in the church through the love of money at that time. Paul was still pressing. The word follow after in verse 11 is the same word persecute that Jesus Christ used to describe Paul. We read in Acts chapter 9, verses 3 and 4. This is Acts chapter 9, starting in verse 3. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around him was a light from heaven. Verse 4. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Through the flesh you will serve the kingdom of darkness again. Paul repented and started chasing after godliness. You are either going forwards or you're going backwards. We read in Jeremiah chapter 7, verses 23 and 24. This is Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 23. But this thing commanded I them, saying, Obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people. And walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. Verse 24. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, went backward and not forward. In the book My Sheep and My Voice, 2021 edition, in chapter 11, on Foundations for Fellowship with God, on page 126, Joseph Hitchcock writes, A lack of spiritual growth and going backward spiritually are indications that you do not listen to the Lord's voice. Instead, you are following the counsels of your carnal nature. Obedience that is not instant is not obedience. When you do not obey instantly, it's usually because you're deciding whether or not you will obey. If you have this attitude, you're already in the flesh. The lies you still believe since you stopped following Christ will cause you to follow your own imaginations and go backwards. It's only doubts based on a weak mind that prevents you from obeying instantly. If you're not able to obey God instantly, then write God's instructions down on a piece of paper. God is no respecter of persons. Now everyone can serve God by denying self completely and rely on the Holy Spirit to make all the right decisions. This will seem foolish to the world. Any decisions you make with your carnal mind will not please God. Large congregations in church buildings with no more room for visitors need to hear the truth about the functional lordship of Jesus Christ and repentance from dead works. When they do, there will be seats to spare. Those who are carnal see the absolute functional lordship of Jesus Christ as intellectual suicide, unnecessary or extreme, because they are corrupt. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12, All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Proverbs 18:10 says, The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The consistently righteous man, upright and in right standing with God, runs into it and is safe, high above, evil and strong. The word run in Strong's is number 7323. A primitive root to run, for whatever reason, especially to rush, break down, divide, speedily, a footman, a guard, to bring hastily, to make or run away, through or post, or even stretch out. Those on the narrow way are like foot soldiers, running or marching all the time. They're ready to run God's marathon all the way to the cross. They use what they have. They are content, not looking at what the world has. They are hastily pursuing, rushing to do God's perfect will by the Spirit for their own lives daily. They get goals, seek God for answers, and make no excuses. They're growing exponentially through trials and difficulties. They have to go in the opposite direction to the rest of the world, who are seeking earthly gain, and the church on the broad way as well. John said in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17, This is 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Verse 17, and the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abides forever. In the Living Bible, Proverbs 18, verses 10 to 15 says, the Lord is a strong fortress. The godly run to him and are safe. The rich man thinks of his wealth as an impregnable defense, a high wall of safety. What a dreamer. Pride ends in destruction. Humility ends in honor. What a shame. Yes, how stupid to decide before knowing the facts. A man's courage can sustain his broken body, but when courage dies, what hope is left? The intelligent man is always open to new ideas. In fact, he looks for them. There are wise and foolish virgins in the church in every generation. God is making every effort to use you as much as possible. The Corinthians and Romans had a weak foundation, but Paul wrote to them, and we can read about their mistakes and learn. God prefers to use you as a good example to others in trials and difficulties. You choose how God uses you, but not everyone born again will rule and reign with Christ. You need to be an overcomer now. The spiritually wise virgins use the knowledge they gain through conviction to repent of lies so that they can hear clearly and pass through difficulties easily by doing what is pleasing to him. Revelation that is not changing you is puffing you up in your mind, taking you away from God's strong tower. Pride is like the hot air filling a balloon and the cause of destruction for everyone. The natural education system in this world gets you to make decisions without all the facts. Scientists only accept what they can observe or record, or the evidence reproduced in a laboratory. God, however, knows the end from the beginning. No one in this world can come to truth without the Holy Spirit bearing witness. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 15 to 18. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 15. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, rebound to the glory of God. Verse 16, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. God is not making easy for anyone in the natural to obey in these last days. God will use absolutely everything coming on the face of the earth to test your faith, so you can realize what you believe in your heart. Repent if necessary and be ready for his appearing. Do not be too proud to use whatever God provides to finish your race of faith. God's school includes some light affliction to purify your motives. This is a quote from the Science Everyday website. When plants and trees grow in the wild, the wind constantly keeps them moving. This causes a stress in the wooden load-bearing structure of the tree. So to compensate, the tree manages to grow something called the reaction wood or stress wood. This stress wood usually has a different structure in terms of cellulose or lignin content and more, and is able to position the tree where it gets the best light or other optimum resources. This is the reason why trees are able to contort towards best light and still survive loads in even awkward shapes. A contorted building like that would easily fall. The tree is able to grow in a more solid manner thanks to the reaction wood. If there's no wind, the trees end up being much weaker and aren't able to survive for long. This happens in homes too. Plants grown indoors without any kind of wind hitting them on a regular basis tend to become weak. So before they are planted outside in the wild conditions, their structure has to be strengthened by causing stress. Remember, stress is what makes a tree strong, enough to sustain the wear and tear that it would face later in life. Make sure every day you learn from your mistakes and why you fail. For everything that God allows, he has provided a way to rescue yourself by asking God what to do. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm reading verse 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. If you do make a mistake, find out why, and you become spiritually stronger. If you make excuses, you will not learn. Conviction is good, and it's not condemnation, but exposing a lie that you believed, using your mind, making your foundation weak. Many left Jesus because of the hard sayings, but this was because they had already become comfortable or religious over a period of time. You'll become spiritually strong as a child of God by faith, processing truth and conviction properly. Do not rely on ministry works. Doing works saves no one. Jesus said in Matthew 7, 22 and 23. This is in the book of Matthew, chapter 7, reading verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Verse 23. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. The word Lord in Strong's is number 2962. It's a word meaning supremacy, supreme in authority. That is, as a noun, controller, by implication, Mr., as in a respectful title. It means God, Lord, Master, or Sir. Those who have not made Jesus Lord are working at iniquity all the time and making excuses. If you have this habit, you'll be left behind. You may compare Jesus with those who've hurt you in the past because you listen to your flesh. God is love. Jesus died on the cross to give you the best chance to live a life controlled by him, to hear his voice, and not do any more dead works in spiritualized flesh. If you accepted Jesus as your Lord, then you'll still be rejoicing now at the decisions he's made for you. Even if you make mistakes, God can turn it around for your good if he's Lord of your life. A mistake is like fertilizer that he can use to bring a greater rate of growth afterwards through repentance. When you spend time with God, you will never have a bad day. The devil cannot steal anything from you in Christ. Instead, you have to give eternal things to the devil because you value temporal things more highly. The devil has been working for over 2,000 years against the saints. Occasionally, we have a man of God and the situation gets more balanced. But if the church would reject man's system of learning, the devil would not succeed. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1. This is Hebrews chapter 6, I'm reading verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. It is a privilege to have his lordship in your life. Those who only hear God occasionally or just in ministry depart from the truth quickly. They humble themselves for short periods of time. This is not spiritual. Even the world humble themselves when they begin to reap the consequences of sin. Everyone has the Holy Spirit to learn what gets them out of the Spirit and repent deeply. The church in Jerusalem was still offended at God because Paul was persecuting the saints before, and now he's an apostle over them. The church got stuck in the basic teachings when they should have been teachers. Those offended at God are often seeking miracles, blessings, and earthly gain. Faith was supposed to be released first into God for you to live a life in complete surrender to God's perfect plan for your life. The Lordship of Jesus Christ is the only solution for sin and iniquity. But the modern church is teaching that God gave you a brain and expects you to use it. In the Living Bible, Philippians 2, verses 12 to 16 says, Dearest friends, when I was there with you, you were always so careful to follow my instructions. And now that I'm away, you must be even more careful to do the good things that result from being saved, obeying God with deep reverence, shrinking back from all that might displease Him. But God is at work within you, helping you want to obey Him, and then helping you to do what He wants. In everything you do, stay away from complaining and arguing so that no one can speak a word of blame against you. You are to live clean, innocent lives as children of God in a dark world full of people who are crooked and stubborn. Shine out among them like beacon lights, holding out to them the word of life. Then when Christ returns, how glad I will be that my work among you was so worthwhile. Paul told the church to obey the Spirit consistently. In God's school, you will learn that with God all things are possible. If you prefer to make excuses and blame others for what you do wrong and fail to do under pressure, you will never grow spiritually. In God's school, you can do everything with nothing. He is a creator. He can use anyone by grace because He's Lord. You just need to be on His chosen list for more noble tasks. When you learn the lesson God wants, the trials you're going through will stop reoccurring. Everything comes to pass. God will provide everything you need to apply what the Holy Spirit directs through conviction. Paul believed that God will complete the work in all those working out their salvation in fear and trembling. He wanted the Philippians to learn spiritually, even though they were surrounded by those that were crooked and stubborn. Today you will even find people like this in the church. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 to 16. This is Hebrews chapter 4, starting in verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Verse 13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Verse 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The letter to the Hebrews was written to the converts before the final destruction of the temple and leveling of Jerusalem AD 70. They were to be bold and strong. They had not yet ceased from their own efforts. The letter was addressed to a community whose faith in the new covenant was faltering because of strong Jewish influences to keep the law, rather than learn from God with reoccurring lessons because of wrong motives and hidden agendas. Keeping laws seemed easier on their flesh than embracing the conviction of the Holy Spirit coming through the rightly revealed word. Those left behind in Jerusalem through a fear of suffering got stuck in the elementary teachings of Christ, using their own mind trying to hear the truth. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 9 to 14. This is Hebrews chapter 5. I'm starting in verse 9. And being made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation unto all that obey Him. Verse 10. Called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Verse 11. Of whom we have many things to say, hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. Verse 12. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. Verse 13. For every one that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. Verse 14. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Stronger messages are for those on the narrow way. those Jews who gave the good confession scattered in other countries had gained godly wisdom, learning quickly to depend on the Holy Spirit. They were asking God everything and experienced God's supernatural supply as a result. Their emotions and feelings were being tested. Those with theories and opinions had to learn quickly or reap the consequences. Those God could use became ambassadors for Christ, presenting strong messages of true repentance and eternal salvation themselves. In the Living Bible, Hebrews 5, 9-14 says, "It was after he had proved himself perfect in this experience that Jesus became the giver of eternal salvation to all those who obey him. For remember that God has chosen him to be a high priest with the same rank as Melchizedek." There is much more I would like to say along these lines, but you don't seem to listen, so it's hard to make you understand. You have been Christians a long time now, and you ought to be teaching others, but instead you have dropped back to the place where you need someone to teach you all over again the first principles in God's Word. You're like babies who can drink only milk, not old enough for solid food. And when a person is still living on milk, it shows he isn't very far along in the Christian life and doesn't know much about the difference between right and wrong. He is still a baby Christian, and you will never be able to eat solid food and understand the deeper things of God's Word until you become better Christians and learn right from wrong by practicing doing right. Practice doing what the Holy Spirit directs you to do in many situations. You might make mistakes, but do not make excuses for not hearing the Lord. You will get stuck holding on to anything in this world, including your own life. Following any religious practices to make it easier on your flesh will not help either. Confess your sin when convicted, and you will experience fullness of joy in his presence. However, you will be tempted to sin again unless you examine the bad fruit and repent of the root reason why you disobeyed the Holy Spirit. I recommend you use a notebook to make a sin list for deep repentance. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 6 to 10. This is Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 6. "And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Verse 7. "That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus." Verse 8. "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God." Verse 9. "Not of works, lest any man should boast." Verse 10. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." God planned for the whole world, including the Jews, to see the grace given to his church, seated in heavenly realms in Christ. In the book of Acts, the Jewish leaders refused to listen to the apostles. Early Jewish converts following the apostles' doctrine experienced his resurrection power and supernatural provision in the face of persecution. Paul said in Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 to 14. This is Colossians chapter 1, I'm reading verse 12. "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." Verse 13. "Who had delivered us from the power of darkness and had translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." Verse 14. "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." You were translated at salvation from the slave market of sin into God's kingdom to serve him. This gave you access to the resources of heaven needed to do the works that God planned for your life on this earth. Time is running out. You have the forgiveness of sins so that you can get back in his presence immediately. Do not waste any more time. Everything you do in the flesh is a dead, useless, vain work that has no eternal value. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 to 31. I'm reading 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 26. "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Verse 27. But God had chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God had chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Verse 28. And the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are. Verse 29. That no flesh should glory in his presence. Verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Verse 31. That according as is written, he that glories, let him glory in the Lord. Your life in Christ on the narrow way should be a lighthouse for the noble, wise, and mighty, getting shipwrecked in this world when grace runs out for them. You get an abundance of grace when Jesus is Lord of your own life because you're humble. With grace, you can do anything. He can do the works he ordained through anyone who remains humble. If you are taking the lead role in your life, you're heading for a fall. This is what happened at Paul's conversion. We read in Acts chapter 9 and verse 6. This is Acts chapter 9. I'm reading verse 6. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Paul, also called Saul, went from a murderer to a saint in a very short time. Seeing the risen Christ was enough to give him the fear of God. Paul made Jesus Lord. He had no doubts and listened to what Jesus told him exactly. He did not even eat food before getting those instructions that Jesus promised him in Damascus through Ananias. We read in Acts chapter 9, verses 10 all the way to verse 20. This is Acts chapter 9, starting in verse 10. And there was a certain disciple in Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. Verse 11. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prays. Verse 12. And hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Verse 13. Then Ananias answered and said, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he had done to thy saints at Jerusalem. Verse 14. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. Verse 15. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Verse 16. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Verse 17. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hand on him, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto you in the way, as thou came here, had sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Verse 18, And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. Verse 19, And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples, which were at Damascus. Verse 20, And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. In the book My Sheep and My Voice, 2021 edition, in chapter 1 on conviction and repentance, Joseph Hitchcock gives a list of those things that are part of true repentance. Number 1, correction. Number 2, conviction. Number 3, godly sorrow. Number 4, confession. And number 5, repentance of the root issue. Paul became a disciple of Christ as part of his repentance because he realized he was serving sin through his weak mind. The Lord can use a baby Christian submitted to him to confound those who rely on earthly wisdom. A spiritual education comes from living in his kingdom, and obeying the Holy Spirit even when it makes no sense. On the narrow way, you will be perfected and become strong in His grace. Those who are carnal prefer an instruction manual or religious laws to follow. Traditional churches want a leader who looks the part. They certainly do not want to learn through conviction or correction, or go through the process of repentance and godly sorrow. Paul's life soon started glorifying God. Religious leaders trying to understand the things of God with their mind were exposed. We read in Acts chapter 9, verse 21 to 28. This is Acts chapter 9, starting verse 21. But all that heard him were amazed, and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on his name in Jerusalem, and is come now for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? Verse 22. But Saul increased the more in strength, and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. Verse 23. And after that many days were fulfilled. The Jews took counsel to kill him. Verse 24. But their laying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Verse 25. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. Verse 26. And when Saul came to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, and believed not that he was a disciple. Verse 27. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Verse 28. And he was with them, coming in and going out at Jerusalem. You should be able to hear God under pressure, and just do what he says in every situation. Do not wait for a convenient time for you to hear and obey. Today, those born again who listen to conspiracy theories in troubled times are weak. Do not listen to the devil's lies and worldly wisdom that will make it hard for you to hear his voice later. The converts in Jerusalem were living underground and afraid. Barnabas had to bring Paul to the apostles as he saw God assisting Paul and confounding the religious leaders boldly in Damascus. The apostles were ready to receive Paul, but the church in Jerusalem was not. With his experience of God's grace, Paul had a different attitude to reach others. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 18 to 23. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I'm reading verse 18. What is my reward then? Verily that I preach the gospel. I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. Verse 19. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain them all. Verse 20. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews, and to them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. Verse 21. To them that are without the law, as without the law, being not without the law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. Verse 22. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I have made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Verse 23. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be a partaker thereof with you. Paul was ready to endure all things for those with a heart after God. He believed in the cross and its power to reach more people. He also became a servant in many different cultures, working with his hands, and the gospel spread rapidly through him this way. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 3 to 7. This is 1 Peter chapter 5. I'm reading verse 3. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. Verse 4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away. Verse 5. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Verse 6, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Jesus was submitted to the Father. Christian leaders are supposed to be an example of this life on the narrow way, obeying God through the Holy Spirit consistently. Great testimonies based on an abundance of grace come through those who are humble, asking God and hearing his voice in a situation that looks impossible. In the Message Bible, 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7 says, so be content with who you are and don't put on airs. God's strong hand is on you. He'll promote you at the right time. Live carefree before God. He is the most careful with you. Do not compare yourself with someone else. You have a direct link to God to complete the mission God gave you. Do everything as Christ did it, by submitting to God and the authority he directs you to be under. Jesus had offers to help from the wrong sources. You can experience his personal anointing being clothed in humility. If you slip back into pride, you will fail in your mission. The cross is the source of authority and power. Peter spoke about corruption in the church at that time. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. This is 2 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 19. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. Verse 20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Those trying to improve their earthly circumstances without asking God will invest time and money in a world that is passing away without asking God. The reason many do not want to hear how to make Jesus Lord is because they have become entangled again with the world. Sound teaching in the church has been corrupted with lies through those trying to serve two masters. And that is why we have the written word in the last 400 years at least. James said in James chapter 3, verses 15 to 18. This is James chapter 3. I'm starting in verse 15. This wisdom that descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. Verse 16, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Verse 18, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Worldly wisdom and a natural method of learning is devilish. Many are stubborn and do not believe. Everything will be exposed at the end when it's too late for anyone to repent. Theologians using the natural education system of the world to study do not believe they are on the broad road heading to destruction. They encourage others to make decisions and study the written word with their own minds. Without the fruit of the Spirit, no one will enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 20. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, and reading verse 20. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven. In these last days it will become even harder to make rules for every situation. Only those who ask God what to do in every situation will do the right thing that God requires. Jesus fulfilled the law and became the perfect sacrifice, acceptable to God, so that you could get forgiveness, hear God, repent, and learn from your mistakes. Paul said in Romans chapter 3, verses 20 to 23. This is in the book of Romans chapter 3, I'm reading verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Verse 21, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Verse 22, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all, and upon all them that believe there is no difference. Verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The standard from the beginning was for man to glorify God at his right hand. This is now possible through grace and seated with Christ Jesus. Before Christ died, the law was a great source of conviction. Now the connection between God and man has been restored through the Holy Spirit. Everyone must repent of dead works and believe the gospel. Jesus has been raised from the dead through faith in the Father's plan. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 to verse 18, I'm reading. This is 2 Peter chapter 3, I'm reading verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Verse 15. And account that the long sufferings of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, had written unto you. Verse 16. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrestle, as they do also with other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Verse 17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, be aware, lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Verse 18. But grow in grace, and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. In the Living Bible, 2 Peter 3:14 to 18 says, Dear friends, while you are waiting for these things to happen, for him to come, try hard to live without sinning, and be at peace with everyone, so that he will be pleased with you when he returns. And remember why he is waiting. He is giving us time to get his message of salvation out to others. Our wise and beloved brother Paul has talked about these same things in many of his letters. Some of his comments are not easy to understand, and there are people who are deliberately stupid and always demand some unusual interpretation. They have twisted his letters around to mean something quite different from what he meant, just as they do with other parts of the scripture, and the result is disaster for them. I'm warning you ahead of time, dear brothers, so that you can watch out and not be carried away by the mistakes of those wicked men, lest you yourselves become mixed up too, but grow in spiritual strength and become better acquainted with our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. To him be all glory and splendid honour, both now and forevermore. Goodbye. Peter ended his second letter speaking about strength. The knowledge of sin through the law or truth by the Holy Spirit is no advantage to anyone if you resist conviction. Those who are strong learn how to remain humble and use the grace and forgiveness to get to know God better in all circumstances. No one is free from corruption without the functional lordship of Jesus Christ and the gift of eternal life working effectively in their lives. Jesus said in Matthew 7 and 21, this is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, I'm reading verse 21. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of the Father which is in heaven. In the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity, in chapter 10, on the beginning of knowledge and wisdom, on page 144, Joseph H. Scott writes, it's not enough to go to church and do good works in Jesus' name. You cannot play games with God. Grace can be dangerous if you believe it will last forever. At the end, grace will stop and you will stand before God in judgment. Justice will be done. Honor will be given where it's due. But there are those who will suffer loss. It's not enough to call Jesus Lord. You must do the will of the Father. If you want to hear, get to know, and follow Jesus, then I can recommend this book, My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to make a fresh start and get on the narrow path, Sow in the Spirit daily, experience full salvation and freedom through regular repentance. Then I can recommend the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to grow up spiritually, not be earthly minded, and come to maturity, then I can recommend the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually by Joseph Hedgecock. Do not accept a counterfeit version of Christianity based on religious works where you do not have to deny yourself daily and take up your cross. You need to make sure you get on the narrow way. The broad way that leads to destruction looks good. It's signposted heaven this way. And many well-meaning good people attending church are on the broad road. If you know that you have resisted the truth and want to know why, then I can recommend the book The Guilty Prison Revised Edition by Joseph Hedgecock. Today I've shared a message about a strong mind. Those who are weak want solutions for their temporal lives. Some believe a lie that they are already guaranteed a heavenly inheritance by saying a prayer at salvation. But it's not the truth. Now is the time to enter the kingdom of heaven before you die or Jesus comes. To enter the kingdom of heaven, you will have to lose your free will. Otherwise, the devil will help you make the wrong decisions with your natural mind again. You will never do the perfect will without obedience to the Spirit and God's grace. God is offering you a life of abundance. Please reach out now. Let me pray with you. Father in heaven, I believe that those who've listened to this message, you've touched their lives and you are offering them such a wonderful life of trusting you, serving you, listening to you, following you. And Father, I pray for them right now that they will be doers of your word and come to life through the Holy Spirit, through the gift of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. You can find a summary of the scriptures used in today's message below this video, either written out or via link to a website. Our contact details will follow. Please get in touch with us. We'd love to hear a testimony from you. God bless you and thank you for listening.